Hello, I am Baymax, your personal healthcare companion.
Hey, Baymax, I didn't know you were still active.
I heard a sound of distress. What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, I just stubbed my toe a little. I'm fine.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your pain?
A 0? I'm okay, really. Thanks. You can shrink now.
Does it hurt when I touch it?
That's okay. No touching.
Ow. You have fallen.
You think?
Hello, Super Marcy here with Chris Innes, and we are going to review Big Hero 6.
Yep. Well, for those that don't know, Big Hero 6 is actually the latest family entertainment film from Disney, but is actually based on a very little-known Marvel comic. And in typical Disney fashion, they've basically just taken the title and certain characters and basically just totally rewritten it for a family-friendly audience.
And I'm not complaining because I enjoyed the movie and I am not at all familiar with the comic or anything like that.
And that's the thing with a film like this, and it's the same with the original How to Train Your Dragon. It's something that a studio has taken and, you know, in a way, it's benefited because it's managed to get out there to a wider audience, but there are cons and pros for this, and in my opinion, it was really not the best call to go this way, because it's a film that's going to be famous for having one lovable character and just, you know, being an instant classic when it's really like, hey guys, just think about this for a moment, just stop.
Okay, well, let's go over the plot of the film.
Right.
I'll let you do that because you love talking.
well, gave it away. Basically, the plot of the story is a young boy named Hero is living with his auntie and his eldest brother. And his eldest brother's working at a very high-tech school building a robot, which ends up being a medical facilities robot named...
Baymax.
And sadly, over the course of the film, Hero's brother dies and...
Spoiler alert,
just pointing it out. And he kind of inherits Baymax in a way that... because he was building him for his brother. And so basically, Hero is determined to find out what happened to his brother because it was under mysterious circumstances in a fire. And there's a super villain going around causing all types of mayhem, and Hero with Baymax decides, let's go and investigate it. And so they start to build up technology and suit up Baymax to become a bit of their own superhero.
And Hero makes microbots that went missing under mysterious circumstances.
So
they come back into it, and Hero's brother, his friends, help along the way as well.
Yeah, basically the friends who... The way we're introduced to a lot of these characters, I mean, there's probably 20 minutes at the beginning that could have been totally removed and put into very brief flashbacks, because we get to know Hero and his brother. Their introductions just don't really sit well because it's like, bam, here's these characters. We don't really know, like, they're living with their aunt. We don't know what happens to their parents, which when we find out what happens to their parents, that's placed very correctly. But we just don't know enough about these characters to really care. And then Hero is introduced by his brother to all the other supporting characters, like Gogo and the TJ Miller character, Fred. Yeah,
Honey
and a few other characters.
Honey Lemon,
and Wasabi. All very interesting dynamic characters, but to be honest, he's just introduced to them, and all of a sudden these characters are just like, oh my god, Hero, you're so wonderful, we've heard all about you, and it's just like, oh. And does remind me about how we get introduced to the characters in the first How to Train Your Dragon, which was through an action sequence and constant narration, and you're like, if you're an adult, you're just like, I have no idea who these people are and why I should really care. So the really caring about these characters isn't there, except for one, and that is the real star of this film, which is the lovable Baymax. when he's, you know, he's like a walking marshmallow, basically, when he's not in the armor. And that's what people are going to remember about this film.
Yes, because he's Baymax.
And he's pretty adorable and a perfectly voice cast and just, yeah, I mean, that's all I can really say on that character.
Well, I definitely liked it more than you did.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really need this insane, you know, amount of character development. I got to know Hiro the amount that I needed to know him. I got the gist of the relationship he had with his brother. So that was all fine. The other characters are side characters. I didn't need to know them as well. And I get the gist of it. So I'm behind the characters. The mystery in the movie, like what happened to the brother, what's the deal with the microbots and all that, you think you kind of know where it's going, but then it does this shift. And I thought that was kind of cool. I liked that. But yeah, obviously Baymax is the cutest thing ever.
And I think one of the major flaws with this film is, again, being based on a Marvel comic and being owned by Disney, it's actually got no connections to the current Marvel universe of films being made, which is an interesting side note because it's the only Marvel thing out at the moment that is got no connection to the other films.
Which is kind of refreshing in a way.
It is refreshing.
It's its own thing, really.
And you don't really have to watch 7 other films before it and watch all the TV shows to realise, oh, that's who that person is.
So how's that a bad thing?
Well, it's just too much going on and, you know, character constant references and...
I don't think
so. I mean, the appearance by Stan Lee, which in a post-credit sequence is quite entertaining, but the problem is, like a lot of these films, these big-budget type films, be they animated or whatnot, they do tend to follow a very rigid formulae that is becoming so obvious, and even though it's not connected to the other Marvel films, it's got that exact same formula that they're starting to follow and is becoming so obvious now that you're just like, oh yeah, I can see how this, there's no real threat, there's absolutely no real threat. Another minus was most people can agree with me that we're all getting a little bit tired of TJ Miller.
Yeah,
playing TJ Miller. I mean, he just needs to find something else. And
he's very annoying.
Yeah,
he was really the least favourite thing about the movie. But you know what? I was swept up in the story, the characters, the adventure. I had a lot of fun. I didn't have, obviously, the problems that Chris has with it. I didn't have a problem with what formula it's following. I like that it's its own thing and it can easily be its own franchise. And I liked how it's this weird setting that you kind of don't really know much about, but it's kind of cool anyway.
Yeah, actually, that's one thing I really enjoyed is that they're living in an alternate universe to ours. Like, so they're in San Francisco, but it's not San Francisco. It's San Fran, Tokyo. And in reading the bit of the backstory of that development, it's basically after the 1901 earthquake in San Diego. San Francisco, sorry. My bad. Japanese immigrants have come over and basically helped rebuild the city. So it's got this really cool, very Blade Runner, but not as dark as Blade Runner, kind of feel to the city. And that is actually one of the most interesting parts of it. So it's, again, that's something that was not so much in the original comics, especially that the characters themselves were American Japanese. So they've played around with it quite well in the world that these characters... the story inhabits, but it's a film made for a specific audience, which is, you know, the younger gens and families, so they're obviously going to enjoy it no matter
what. And Marcy
because
Marcy has like all the toys.
Yes, and again, as what we experienced, you go out and go straight into the toy store to buy all the figures and all the pop.
Although they don't have as many toys as you might expect that they would.
Yeah, so I think this film is more getting... Again, I think this film's going to follow like what happened with Frozen and the first How to Train Your Dragon. It's going to wait for a sequel, or at least another 12 months, for merchandisers to really realise what they've got, a cash cow they've got on their hands. And hopefully... it is going to be one of those films that will be improved by a sequel to a point, similar to what happened with How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, and I would definitely watch that one.
I think a lot of people will be wanting a sequel, well, but again, being not connected to the other Marvel films, it's got the freedom to do what it wants, without, as I said, you know, people having to watch seven films beforehand to know really what's going on.
Well, Big Hero 6 would be on my list of top favourite movies of 2014.
It would not be on mine, I'm sorry.
I know that. I can't remember what rating I actually gave it on my post, but in looking back on it, my rating now would be 4 out of 5.
I would sadly have to go with a very rare for me, 2.5.
I'm just giving you bad looks right now. Which people can't see, they can only just hear it in my voice. Yes.
But yeah. But anyway, go see it. It's still in cinemas at the moment.
It'll be out on Blu-ray before you know it.
Yeah, so catch it whilst you can, and then do what Marcy's going to do and catch the Blu-ray.
Yes, I'll catch it.
Got to catch them all.
Yep.